The new year is often a time of reflection, a chance to look back on the past 365 days and remember. Sometimes the memories bring a smile, and other times they break our hearts. Chances are you've experienced a bit of both this past year. The new year is also a time to look ahead, to imagine what could be, to scan the horizon with expectation, and seek God's guiding hand. It's a time to strive for better, to live louder, love stronger, and be more of who God has created us to be. It's an opportunity for new beginnings, a chance to start fresh, to pursue God with a renewed passion, and to press on with all our hearts. The truth is, God has been faithful this past year, and that faithfulness promises to carry us through the next. As a new year begins, may we remember this one simple truth. In Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come.
Happy New Year. It's good to start off 2023 in church together. Thanks for being with us. And I'll be honest, I was surprised to see so many of y'all here. It's good. It's good to see you. I went to bed about 8:30 last night, so I think I beat you, but I was tired. But my name is Gary. If you're new here, welcome. I want to say a special greeting to you. I want to say thank you for being our guest this morning. Help you find our church to be a warm and welcoming place. Kids, it's exciting to see y'all here this morning. Who is wearing or brought something that they got for Christmas? Any kids here that have toys or clothes? Yeah? Well, good. Me too. But Kids Church is going to be dismissed now. It'll be up and to the left. You'll be able to check your kids out after church. They'll be dismissed in the lobby. But thanks for being here with us this morning, kids. Next week, we're going to begin a new sermon series that I'm calling Biblical Church. And I've told our deacon team that I really think 2023 is going to be an important and redefining year for our church. Not just our church, really most churches. As we've coming out of COVID, I think churches are going to have to figure out what does life look like now. And so some churches have already begun this. Some will wait a little longer. For us, though, as I'm approaching my first anniversary with you, I think it's time for us to really consider where God is moving us, where God is leading us. I've spent a lot of time listening and paying attention to you all and to this church, this community, and I'm looking forward to this next year together. I think it's going to be an important year for us, like I said, a redefining year for us. And the sermon series, Biblical Church, that starts next week, will help us set the stage for our Sunday night workshop called Reimagine Church. And I would invite you to be a part of that. If you want to have input into hearing and seeing and talking and discussing the things that God may have for us in the future, I really would encourage you to be a part of that. It's going to start later on this month. I'm excited. Our deacons are excited. Our staff is excited. We don't have a full picture of where we're headed, but I do sense that God is working, and He has been working for some time here at White Plains, and it's exciting to see this new season of ministry that God has in front of us. To help us sort of prepare for this new year, this morning I want to bring to you a message from the prophet Haggai. Now, when was the last time you were in Haggai? Who can find Haggai in your Bible? It's one of the shortest books of the Old Testament. It's the second shortest book of the Old Testament. There are two chapters, and for me, in my Bible, it's a front and back page, this prophet. It's a highly motivational book with priorities and understanding the importance of God's glory in our lives individually and our lives collectively as the church. As we start this important new year for our church together, I thought it would be wise for us to hear from the prophet Haggai this morning. In this short prophecy, he has three messages for us. Let's look at Haggai 1. Now, as an added bonus, you're going to get to hear me attempt to pronounce some names that I guarantee none of you all would want to say in front of other people. I'm going to try my best. I'll pronounce them the way that I've heard them, but you might be entertained. Let's look at Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak. Now, if anyone's going to be pregnant and has a boy, there's lots of good names there for you to choose from. All right, let's get back into verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. It is a time for you to dwell in the paneled houses while the house lies in ruins. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you have never enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into bags with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you will withhold the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land, and the hills on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. And the Lord their God sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this time together that we get to read what you have for us. Thank you for this new year in front of us. Would you bless us? Would you draw us to yourself? Would you help us to experience a closeness to you that we didn't have last year? Be with us this year. Be with us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, sometimes when I read through history like this, it can come across as a story detached from the truthfulness of the events that it portrays. Are you that way? Is reading history sometimes difficult for you? I find it helpful to read what is going on before, leading up to the event, along with other things that might be happening around the same time. For me, it just helps me see that this is real history. This is truth that's happening. And so Haggai was written in 520 BC. Now, he does a good job of dating inside this prophecy, and thanks to archaeology and historians, we know who King Darius is, and we know what has led up to this part of the Bible. I've included a timeline in your notes. It's going to be up here on the screen as well, things that have led up to this prophecy that Haggai has prophesied for us. So if you look at it, in 586, this is where it sort of begins, the Babylonians attacked Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple, and the Jews were exiled. Now, this is B.C. This is before Christ, so it's a countdown as we go forward. In 539, King Cyrus and the Persians overtook Babylon, and the Babylonian Empire ends. 1 year later, in 538, the Jews were allowed to return to Jerusalem. Then a couple years later, they began to rebuild the temple. It's been destroyed for near 50 years, and they start to rebuild it. But it didn't last. A couple years later, they stop. They stop rebuilding the temple. And then that's where Haggai pops into our scene in 520. In 516, 4 years later, the temple is completed. Some other things that were happening around this time. In 528, Buddha began teaching his philosophy in South Asia. And then in 525, coins started to have images on both sides. I thought they always had coin images on both sides, but around 525, they started doing that. The last book of the Old Testament was written in 430 BC. So this message that we have here from Haggai comes to us near the end of God speaking through the prophets. This temple that's being rebuilt, that was delayed, that was restarted, and finally completed, is the one that Jesus will visit when he comes to earth. It will be updated from time to time before he arrives. Now, this message that Haggai has for us is one for our hands, our hearts, and our heads. What he says to the Jewish people in this prophecy, I think, is applicable to us today, and I think it's applicable to us as a church, especially as we face 2023 together. This message can be read through a couple of different lenses, and I'll trust that God will help you read through it the way he intends for you this morning. But I believe that you can read this through the lens of a collective church, reading this together, and that's the way I'm going to read it as your pastor. However, I do see personal application of reading through this book as it speaks to each of us individually, as we may have ignored our spiritual growth and pursued personal desires over our spiritual health. In verse 7 and 8, we read, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build a house, that I may take pleasure in it, that I may be glorified, says the Lord." As we start 2023 together, I want you to know that God is honored when we rebuild. God is honored when we rebuild. If you need to rebuild your life, your spiritual life, and reprioritize God's plans over your plans, God is honored when you rebuild, when you refocus and reprioritize. Together as the church, as we began to look at what God has for us in this coming year, as we reimagine what church can look like after COVID, God is honored when we rebuild, reimagine, remodel, and realign. God is honored when we rebuild, but he gives us a warning. We must prioritize God's plans over our own. In verse 9, he says, "You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house." If we focus on our own plans, our own agendas, our expectation of what God will do will amount to little. Our focus in our church and in our own lives must be toward what God's plans for us are. Let's look next at what happens in verse 12. It shows us that the people obeyed God. And in verse 13, God tells the people what he'll do with them. As you look at 2023, you want God to be with you, don't you? As you look ahead to what this year may hold, whether it be good or it may give you anxiety, you want God to be with you in this coming year. Obedience brings closeness with God. Haggai's message for our hands is that it's for us to obey God's word and his will for our lives. Obedience will bring closeness with God. whether 2023 will be great things for you or difficult times, God will be near you as you are obedient to Him. Trust God. Obey His word. Search for His will and experience a closeness with God that will help you through whatever 2023 may have for you. Haggai's second message is for our hearts. In chapter 2, let's look at verses 1 through 9. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Oh, be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I have made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, for thus says the Lord of hosts. Yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry ground. I will shake all the nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. I am expecting God to do some pretty great things here at White Plains in this coming year. I am trusting God that He has us, you and I, here for this season of ministry so that we can follow after His will and He can show us His faithfulness again. One of the first things that our 2023 deacons will be faced with will be creating dedicated spaces for our kids and student ministries. Our 2022 deacons have been praying and considering different ways to do this and best steward what God has given us. Now, these plans are not final, and it would be premature to discuss them publicly, but there will be a time for that soon. Lord willing, I will be asking for input from many of you on how we see God moving us in these areas in the coming weeks. Wherever we go, and whatever we do, it's important that we do it together. Haggai's message for our hearts is patience. If we look at what Haggai has for us in this passage of Scripture, it's patience. Listen to verses 3 through 5 of chapter 2. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. There are some among the people of Israel here that remember the glory of the former temple, the one that was destroyed, Solomon's temple. If you look back at your timeline, Solomon's temple was destroyed at 586 BC. We're now 66 years past that time here with Haggai, and there's renewed excitement because there are some who remember the good old days. They remember what the temple was like, and many were just a generation removed, and they cherish the memories of their parents as they pass down stories of what life was like in Solomon's temple. Haggai encourages our hearts to be patient. If you ever looked at Solomon's temple and the second temple, you clearly see that it's not the same temple. It's different. In fact, the second temple goes through many upgrades over time to when Jesus shows up. It's a much bigger temple than Solomon's temple. But does bigger make it better? No. We understand that Solomon obeyed God as he built the temple, and the people of Israel are obeying God as they rebuild the second temple. Obedience to God is better than just making something bigger. Haggai encourages us to be patient because the memories of the past were so good, and the people caught the vision of the second temple, they wanted to hurry it along. But Haggai encourages obedience and patience. I want to point out verse 9. Let's look at verse 9 together. God is speaking through Haggai here. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Now, working in our own strength, we should never think or never promise something bigger and better when it comes to spiritual things or church things. Working in our own strength, we should never do that. That's pride. But trusting God, and His plans are better than ours, being obedient to God and following where He's leading and being patient on Him, we see that God grows things. That's how God generally works. Not because the thing, but because of God. We work to give God glory. God delights in getting glory in our church and in our personal life. One thing about God is that He delights in getting glory. Now, this is not pride. Glory is properly given to God because He's God. He deserves the glory. As you prepare for 2023, make giving God glory a priority. For some of us, that means we come to Jesus for salvation and allow Him to be the Lord of our lives. For others, it means giving God glory means living differently and pursuing His plans for our lives and His will for our lives. If you want to help in figuring out what that may mean for you, how you can best give God glory this year, I would love to have those conversations and help you sort that out. But God delights in getting glory. Let's give God glory a lot this year. So this brings us to Haggai's final third message for us, his message for our heads. Let's look at verses 10 through 23. On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priest about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is clean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. When Haggai answered and said, so is it with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands. So what they offer there is unclean. Now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. The word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth and overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I am about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations and overthrow the chariots and their riders. And the horses and their riders shall go down, everyone by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. Haggai's message to our head is one that leads us to communion. As we begin to approach the table, remember what God has done for you, especially as it relates to your holiness. God has two questions for the priests of Israel. The first question, he asks, if someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? They answer, no. Holiness doesn't travel that way. It doesn't transfer like that. Holiness is only given to us by God. Holiness is supernatural. Secondly, God asks, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? They answer, yes. While holiness doesn't spread naturally, sin does. Sin runs through us and contaminates us. Even our best efforts for God are contaminated by sin. Sin spreads naturally, while holiness is given supernaturally. Before we approach this table, take a moment to respond. Haggai's message for our heads is for us to consider our sin and celebrate God's promise. Brett, I'll ask you to come back up. As he does, let us consider our sin, our past, the past year, the hope of the coming new year as it relates to spiritual matters. Consider how you've been unfaithful to God in the past, and thank God for his faithfulness to you. In Haggai 1:7, God says, consider your ways. As we approach this table, consider your ways this morning. Have you trusted and followed Jesus as Lord? If not, make this the year you begin following him. Baptism follows belief. If you have followed Jesus but you haven't been baptized, make this the year you follow after God and obey him in this way. Perhaps your faith has been weak and you need a personal revival of faith. Confess that to God and seek him in his words. Consider your ways. Would you stand as we pray? God, we thank you for your word. Help us to consider our ways. Help us to consider the past year, the hopes for the new, for those who haven't followed Jesus. Let this be the year that changes and they begin to follow you. For those who haven't been baptized after faith, let this be the year that they obey you and are baptized. For those of us who may have felt weak in our faith this past year and we need personal revival, we confess that we need you. We need more of you. Help us to seek you in your word. You are so good to us. Thank you for Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.